Well, hello. Thank you so much for joining us. This is always a special time of the week. It means so much to me. It helps me in my walk and my relationship with the Lord for us to be able to come together to seek the Lord in prayer, to open His Word, to hear from Him. I pray it helps you that way as well, that these times help you to grow in knowing the Lord, being able to trust Him, being able to love Him more, being closer to Him. I hope that you're having a wonderful day. In fact, as I hope as you have begun this new year, that you're having a wonderful beginning of the year. This is our first full time together after the year has begun. And I hope that you have had a wonderful New Year celebration. And I hope that this new year is a wonderful time for you to grow in your walk with the Lord, to grow spiritually, to know Him. And as we open God's Word today, we come to a psalm that so helps us with that, I think. It helps set our priorities correctly. It reminds us of the importance of seeking our Lord. And as we begin this new year, there's probably no higher priority, no better New Year's resolution than to grow in our relationship with the Lord. And as we look at this psalm, we're reminded of the reasons why. And so, as we come to this psalm, we'll be in Psalm 63, but before we begin reading it, let's go to the Lord in prayer and meet with Him. Father, thank You so much for this day, Lord, that You have given to us. Lord, for the opportunity to meet with You. Father, I pray that in this time, Lord, that You will guide our minds and our hearts, Lord, not only to understand this passage, but more importantly, O Lord, to know You better. Lord, to be able to walk closer to You, to trust You more, to know Your ways. Father, for our life, O Lord, to be redirected and reprioritized, O Lord, in a way that is this pleasing unto You. And that, Lord, that we'll become who You want us to become, Lord, and live the lives that You've called us to live. Father, be with us. Lord, give us understanding. Let us know You, Your way. Speak to us, we pray, Father, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, as we open God's Word and as we think about meeting with Him, we have a very important question to ask ourselves today. I was about to say this morning, or you know, you may be watching in the afternoon, but we have a very important question to ask ourselves today. Why should we seek the Lord? Why should that be such a priority? You know, I mentioned and prayed a moment ago and that become the priority of our life, the highest priority, knowing Him. But why is that, in fact, so important? You think about what David was inspired to write in the very first verse of this psalm. O God, You are my God. I shall seek You earnestly. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh yearns for You in a dry and weary land where there is no water. You see, David's desire for the Lord, his hunger for the Lord, his passion for the Lord, described it there as a thirst, being in a very dry and parched land. And David was in the wilderness of Judah when he wrote this, as you see in the superscription over the psalm. But David's talking about this desire to know the Lord. But why? Why does there this driving urge for David to know the Lord? Why should knowing the Lord be the number one priority and goal of our life, the very foundation of our life? Do we seek the Lord because we're so good? Is it because we are so spiritual? Well, I wish that were so, but that's not the case. The Bible makes it very clear we're anything but. No, the reason to seek the Lord and for Him to be the reason for seeking Him to be first in our life, and so appropriate for us at the beginning of the new year, the reason why seeking God needs to be the priority of our life is really found in God Himself. And David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so beautifully expresses that in this passage, that it is what we find in God Himself that makes Him worthy of our seeking Him. And the more we seek Him, the more we find in Him, the more we find in Him, the more we need and want and desire what we see, and the more it causes us to pursue, to seek Him more. And so what is it about God that makes Him worthy of this thirst, this hunger, this desire? Well, as we work our way through this psalm, the first thing we see is His greatness. You think about what David was inspired to write in verse 2. Thus I have seen You in the sanctuary. to see you in your power and your glory. You think about that. God, to see you, to know you, to comprehend you in your power. God's power is in fact unlimited, and in his greatness, a majesty of which we cannot even begin to comprehend. Just take a moment to stop and think about who this great God of the Bible is. He is a God who is sovereign and absolute control. He is a God who is the king, the ruler of all that there is. He is the creator who made everything. You know, as I'm writing this today, probably should have commented on this earlier. It's the beginning of a cold front. It rained this morning. Temperature has already dropped. It's going to continue dropping through the night. Most of the clouds have rolled through. But you know, it's been beautiful to watch. It's a magnificent display of power and glory. And yet our God is the creator of all this, and he created it all by speaking it into existence. What an awesome God this is. Not only is he the creator, but he's the sustainer. The reason all of this continues to operate and in fact holds together is because he wills for it to do so. You think about the fact that he is the righteous judge, the one who in fact determines all things and brings his determination to pass. He is holy. You know, 1 John, he's described as light, having no darkness whatsoever. You think about who God is. Simply who he is ought to cause us to seek him. That matchless power, that incredible glory, the majesty, as we'll see in a moment, his wonder, his goodness. No, simply God himself, who he is, his greatness, ought to cause us to seek him. What more important thing do we have to do in life? What better thing can we do in life? What could possibly be more rewarding, more fulfilling, more exciting than knowing this great God? But we not only see his greatness, we also see his goodness. You think about what David was inspired to write in verses 3 through 5. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. God is so good just in his person. You know, we all know individuals who we would describe as good, but we also know that most of them, you know, there's some part of them that you just want to step delicately around, or that there's, you know, they're good except in some area or some part of their life. God is the only being that no matter how well you know him, he is in fact good. He is a delight to know. What a God we have. But he's not only good in his person, but notice he's good in his works. Verse 5, my soul is satisfied with marrow and fatness. My mouth offers praises with joyful lips. He fills our life with good things. You think about what David was inspired to write in that psalm we know so well, the 23rd Psalm, my cup overflows. You think about how good God has been to you. Even through the difficult times in our lives, we've seen the goodness of God, his strength, his sufficiency, even sometimes just the closeness of his fellowship in the darkest of hours. You think about how good God has been. You know, as we start a new year, you can't help but think about the previous year and the previous years before that. And you think about all the goodness that God has poured out upon you. What a reason, in fact, to praise him and to desire to know him and to prioritize knowing him. You know, we teach children to pray when they're young, and we smile when they say it and repeat that blessing, God is great. God is good. Our God, from his very being, from his heart, and all that he does is good. That's not to say we always understand why he does what he does. Our understanding is so small. Our understanding is so limited by our intelligence level and our perspective of time. We have a difficult time sometimes understanding why a certain thing that God has brought about can possibly be good. But in the eternal scheme, we will see that it was and is the goodness of God. And even when we can't understand what he's doing, we can cling to who he is. He is good. And so why is it that knowing God ought to be the priority of our life? Well, His greatness, His goodness, simply who He is. But then we also come to number three, His help. The fact that God is with us in even the most difficult situations of life. You think about what we read in verses 6 through 8. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, for you have been my help. And in the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. David thinks about all the times that God has helped him. And David is able to praise and to thank and to rejoice the Lord for all of that. And what is amazing is that when you read that, it's obviously not just the past tense, though that sets the foundation. It's, in fact, in the present. And we need to understand, David did not write this in a time that was what we'd call a good time in his life. Again, you think back at the superscription, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. One of those times when David was on the run for his very life. This is probably during the rebellion of Absalom. And you think about that being on the run, not only from someone who wants to kill you, but that someone being your own son. And yet in the midst of it, he's able to praise God because of his help. And you know, when David used that imagery back in verse 1 about a dry and weary land, that describes the very physical landscape that he was in at that time. It's a harsh environment there. And yet in the midst of it, David knew God's help. You know, what a reason to prioritize knowing God. The fact that we can seek Him and have His help in every situation. We can look back as we're here today and think about all of God's help in the past. But you know, even if we're in difficult circumstances, and probably all of us have some set of worries or problems or whatever, God is our strength, our help. God is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in time of trouble, as we saw back in Psalm 46. We ought to seek God because of His help. And you know, even if you're facing a year and it looks like the circumstances of your life are very difficult this year, or maybe today you've already encountered some major problem. And so often it's very easy for us in those times to lose the priority and the urgency of knowing God and walking with Him and seeking Him, losing that priority of making Him first in our life. And yet it is in Him that we find the strength, the guidance. It's in Him that we experience that help that we so desperately need. David understood that. David knew that, and he sought the Lord, meditated on Him in the night watches. What an example for us. We have God's help. But then not only do we have God's help, His goodness, His greatness. But another reason to seek God, when we look at verses 9 through 11, is His righteousness. Look at verses 9 through 11. But those who seek my life to destroy it will go down to the depths of the earth. They'll be delivered over to the power of the sword. They will be a prey for foxes. But the king will rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by Him will glory, for the mouths of those who speak lies will be stopped. David knew that in his time and in his way, God will make all things right. You and I serve a God who does all things right, and His righteousness will in fact prevail. Now, we might not see it this hour. We might not see it today or tomorrow. It might be for quite some time, but God's righteousness does prevail. If it seems as if God's righteousness is slow in coming, it's only because of the mercy of those who are going to fall under His judgment as a result of it. But God's righteousness will prevail. The judge of the earth, as Abraham pleaded with God for Lot living in Sodom, the judge of the whole earth will do what is right. We can seek God because of His righteousness. We can trust that He will in fact make all things right in His time. What a comfort for us. As we live in these times, in days like these, when we see what's taking place spiritually and morally and politically and economically within our nation, it's very easy for us, as our Lord warned about as you would approach the end times, for our hearts to grow cold. They don't need to. because we have a God who we can seek, because he'll make all things right. It's true in terms of the vast scheme of God's eternal plan for the ages. It's true for our nation. It's true for our own individual lives. God is righteous. God will bring about that which is right and true and good and beautiful. We can trust him. And rather than our heart growing cold in these times and what we see taking place around us politically and many times even within what calls itself church today, we can rejoice. We can rest. We can, in fact, prioritize seeking God because he is righteous. David, in a very difficult time in his life, cannot imagine the circumstances David was in. Any of those times he had to be on the run for his life, but especially if this was written in the backdrop of his son leading a coup against him. And yet in the midst of all that, I mean, you would think about all the things that would be on your mind in a situation like that. But seeking God was in fact the priority for David's life. Seeking God was in fact the number one thing. Seeking God, in fact, as he wrote in verse 1, O God, you are my God, I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. David sought the Lord. And as a result, he had God's guidance, protection, strength. He had God's working in that situation, and he saw God move. What a lesson for us, for today, for us as we begin this year, that our number one priority, the number one thing on our agenda, the number one thing on our to-do list needs to be to seek God, to truly seek him first, as our Lord told us in Matthew 6. May we truly be people who seek God. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for being the God that you are. And we praise you for being that God. Lord, you're great beyond our ability to fathom. Oh God, you are good beyond our imagination. Oh Father, you are our help. Oh God, you are righteous in all that you do. We can trust you. Lord, as we go through this day, as we go through this year, may we truly seek you with all of our heart. Lord, may we seek you. May it be as if our soul, Lord, is in a dry and weary land, and may we look to you, O God, as the life-giving, life-sustaining water of life. Father, be with us through this day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been good to be with you. And I hope as you go through the rest of your day, however much of that there is left, that you truly seek God, that you experience him, that you know his nearness, his presence, and his love, and that through today, and in fact through this year, that you walk with him.